tonight. We're going to be in Proverbs tonight, chapter 3. Just another break from Ecclesiastes, not because this sounds kind of carnal maybe, but I don't mean it that way. It's not so much because God, I feel like, is moving us to do this message, but more that other message isn't ready, you know? And it's not good when you try to deliver a message and it's not ready, or at least it isn't good for me. So we're going to do this one, and the Lord has led to this, and I'm pretty sure of that. Well, I'm certainly sure of that. That is all right. But Proverbs 3, and you can just remain seated. We'll read our verses tonight, beginning in verse 13. We'll read to verse 20. Verse 13, the Bible says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom." I like that as a beginning or opening to this passage, don't you? Happy is the man. And that's what we desire, is a kind of a joy in our life, don't we? And God can give that to you through his wisdom. And he wants you to have that. He says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold." So as he is referencing happiness, and he's referencing the merchandise of it, what is the it? He's talking about the wisdom of God. He's talking about the understanding of God. And so when you think about the wisdom of God and the understanding of God, we're talking about things that you can only get from God. So it's knowing God and knowing his word and understanding him, and not just in an intellectual way where we have this sort of, you know, approach to God in an analytical way. And so then we have this analytical view of how we get to know God. I did my devotions and I checked the boxes and I did, you know, that's not, God's personal. And so your relationship with God is personal. And so when you have his wisdom and you have his understanding, then these things start becoming a part of your life. He said happiness. He said the merchandise of it. So he's referencing a contrast with silver and gold and all that stuff. In verse 15, more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire not to be compared to her. And then he says, now he references something else. He says, length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every man that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. So in this, Solomon gives not just a reference to like how to have the wisdom of God or how to have the understanding of God, but what he's doing there is he's showing you in a contrast sort of way the wisdom of God, the understanding of God, and then everything the world has to offer. And which one's better? Well, Solomon says God is better in this. And so we're going to talk tonight about how God is better. So let's pray and we'll get into that. Father, I pray your help and guide us in the path that you'd have us to be on. Lord, help our word, the word tonight, to be your word, and touch the hearts of your people. We need you. We desperately, deeply need you. And so we pray for your touch. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, chapters 1 through 9, for those of you who don't know a lot about the book of Proverbs, other than that it's been considered or called the book of wisdom. The wisdom of, you want to have wisdom in your life, you want to make wise choices in life, you're like, well, yeah. You need to be reading Proverbs. You need to understand Proverbs. You need to memorize Proverbs. It'll help you to be wise. How many of us made foolish decisions today? Okay, hands still up, you know, like we do it regularly, right? How do we lessen the amount of foolish things we do? Read your Proverbs. Know the Proverbs. Apply the Proverbs. Do what God says in this great book. It's the book of wisdom. Now, Solomon has written the book of Proverbs primarily to give Israel wisdom, but in chapters 1 through 9, and then in a broader sense, as the king, he says, okay, I want our people, I want my people to have wisdom. Let's go a little broader. God gave us the book of Proverbs so that we would have wisdom. Solomon gave the nation of Israel so his people would have wisdom. But 1 through 9, you know what Solomon did? He wrote a personal, intimate, we could call it a love letter to his son. And here's what he's saying to his son. Listen, you can avoid so many things if you'll just listen to the words that I'm going to give you here. And so what you'll find in chapters 1 through 9 is this little phrase, often through the first 9 chapters, my son, my son, my son, because Solomon is talking to his son. He wants his son to have wisdom. He wants his son to avoid a lot of things, or pitfalls, I guess we could say it, in life. And so what he's saying tonight is that God is better. Okay, so I have something that I want to do tonight. And one, I'm going to need 2 helpers. And I have, and it's ultra embarrassing. So whoever you are, you're going to, already, Brother Eric already volunteered. It's not ultra embarrassing. That's actually, this is, if you want to be volunteered for something, this is the one you want. Okay?
Whoa, I'm in.
I just got some volunteers. He doesn't know what we're going to do with these yet. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Amen. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a little vote. Actually, I want to give you a statement, okay? This is a very spiritual statement I'm about to give you. It'll change your life, actually. You ready? God, I'm going to say it really spiritually too. God wants us to be Twinkies in a ding-dong world. You ready for that? You ready now? That's a good one, right? God wants us to be Twinkies in a ding-dong world. Amen. That's not my sermon, but that could be it. Might could be my sermon, right? So we need to have a vote. But to do this, I need the... Brother Eric, since I picked you and you volunteered first, you're going to get to come up here and select which side you want to be on. So come on up here. And with this... prefer. What do you prefer? Yeah, you can see it that way if you want to. I mean, whenever you go, how many of you, before you pick one of these off of the thing, you pray about it first? Anybody does that? So you could do it spiritually, I mean, or you could just say which one. Which one did you say? Okay, so ding-dongs. Here we go. Those are littler than they should be, right? I'm gonna give you 2 of them. Okay, you're gonna get 2 ding-dongs. There you go. All right, so you hold those. Don't break into it yet. Who is going to be my Twinkie person? Jim, you want to be the Twinkie guy? So if he didn't know that I was going to be giving these away, then he wouldn't have came up here. Okay, you're the Twinkie guy. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to have a vote. Raise your hand, and we have to get, this has to be accurate, okay? So raise your hand if you're going to be on the ding-dong side. Okay, all right, 1. Okay, here we go. We want a hand right here, so let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that's all? Okay, hands down. That's not looking good for you. So I'm guessing everybody else is Twinkies. Raise your hand. Okay, I'm not even going to count. Twinkies win! Give him a hand! Everybody's super excited about this, you know? You can keep your ding-dongs and Twinkies. You go, don't eat them during church. Give them a hand. They did great. Okay. So, like, great, Pastor, why did you do that? Okay. Because, you know, in whenever it comes to making a choice between these two, you know, I actually picked Twinkies too, but I like both of them. But what we're doing here is we're making a choice between 2 things that are, in my opinion, good. Like, we're picking a good thing over here, and over here we're also picking, you know, a good thing. But what I want you to do is to understand through this that people have differing opinions about what is the best one. Like, there's some people who have the opinion that this one's the best one. And then there's a lot more people who seem to think that the Twinkies are the best one. But it's sort of split, right? Well, that's kind of how it is in the world as it relates to whether or not God is better or the things of the world are better. we sort of see it as a Twinkie ding-dong thing. You know, Twinkies is, maybe we could say it like this without being too irreverent or not meaning to. Twinkies is the Lord's side. They won, so the Lord's side. And then the ding-dongs are the world side. It doesn't really matter which one you pick, right? Because if you pick the Twinkie side, then, you know, you'll be happy with that. But if you pick the ding-dong side, then you'll be happy with that too. You know, whatever you pick, you know, just follow your heart and you'll be happy with that. But it doesn't work like that with God. And that's what Solomon is wanting to get across to his son. This is not a Twinkie ding-dong issue. I mean, choosing God or understanding or knowing that God is better is not like a spaghetti pizza issue. Which do you pick, spaghetti or pizza? Oh, man, I don't know. I think we might be split on that issue too. But that's not what Solomon's talking about here. Now, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to put these aside because if I keep these here, then we're going to be like super hungry the whole time. And I will give some more of these away after church if you sit up straight and tall and be really good. Okay, so just know that. We'll give some more away. But what I want you to do is I want you to, don't say it out loud, but I want you to think in your mind of your favorite hobby, favorite thing to do. Like, what is your, like, man, if I had a day off and I could, and I had, and even you had enough money, you could do it. Like, sometimes it's a money, oh, I like doing this, I don't have enough money, you know. So let's say that wasn't an issue. I mean, you could just go and do this, and this is your favorite thing to do. You got it in your mind? Are you thinking about it? So I asked Brother Chad earlier today, I said, because I was testing him out. I told him about my being a Twinkie in a ding-dong world illustrate. You know, I was talking about this. I said, think of your favorite thing. He's like, man, I don't know what it is. It's like getting caught up in work. That's my favorite. I'm like, what? You are so boring, man. So, and then he finally thought of something. So anyway, now, have it in your mind, favorite thing. I'm going to make a statement, and then I want you to say your thing out loud. That might change your thing, but if you know you're going to say it out loud and everybody's going to hear it. But if everybody says your thing at the same time, then it won't be embarrassing, right? So you just be ready. I'm going to make a statement, and you say your favorite thing out loud. Ready? Here we go. I'm going to say this, and then you say your thing. Here it is. God is better than... Man, I didn't get any of that. But you know, it's true, isn't it? God is better than whatever you just said. God's better than that. Brother Tim and I had a great lunch time today, didn't we? We didn't eat these, but this can be our dessert. I'll eat the Twinkies, you eat the ding-dong. All of them. No. I believe that. We had great lunch today, and so while we're talking, I hope it's okay I share this. You know, we're talking about the blessings of God and the miracle. You know, when God blesses you and then you experience this kind of thing that only God could have done that. And then you're so blessed by that. It's so encouraging because you have this struggle or this need. You trust God and you obey Him. And then a blessing comes and it's directly related to your obedience to the Lord. And then you just look at that and you think, man, I wish everybody could experience this. I wish everybody could experience knowing what it means to wonder and to struggle and to have to make a big decision and then trusting God and then after that being blessed by in a way that only God could have done it. And we talked about that. We just wish everyone could have that experience. And that's possible, but why do we struggle so much with obeying God or trusting Him? It's because there's this kind of pull in our heart to say that God's way isn't always the best way. Or God's way won't give us whatever we said a moment ago sometimes. What we think that can give us. We wonder, can God give us? Is God better than... Is God... Okay, so I get it. Like, we're at church and we say our favorite thing and God's better than that. But sometimes we struggle to agree with a statement that God is better than anything that could be in our life. And so because of that, we have a hard time making decisions of faith and trust in God in certain areas of our life. There's a happiness that the world offers, and I want you to understand something. It's because Solomon is talking to his son with this, that there is a kind of happiness that the world offers, and it's very attractive to our children. Not just our children, I mean, to you and me. We need to figure this out first, right? But it's very attractive to them. And so we live in a world that is trying to get the attention of our kids and draw them into this system that says, I have everything and you don't need God. I have everything and you don't need, you know, the things of the Lord. That's what the system says. And so then our kids wonder is, can I be happier in God, with God or in God than the pleasure I find in this other things, you know? Brother Chad said roller coasters. You know, I'm like, roller coasters, really? Your favorite? You know. The manifesto of the world is humanism. Humanism says is a philosophy of the world that says the happiness of man is the chief end of man. And so why we exist is for happiness. So you're not really living unless you are pursuing your own happiness, and that's what that means. And so our young people admit that God's way is good, but they're not all the time convinced that God's way is better than. You know, can God pick the best spouse for our kids? Yes. Do they always trust that, though? No. Can God pick the best job for and career in college, you name it, et cetera, for our kids? Yes. Is it always easy to follow God in a career path, though? No. Can God give me a happy life? Solomon is here to diffuse the untruth that God's way isn't better. Like the world says, God's way isn't better than this, though. He's here to diffuse that. And that's the nature of this passage. So I'm going to give you the points. God's way is better. Number one, he is the true source of happiness. Look at verse 13. Happy is the man. So, I mean, the implication there is this is where you find real happiness. That findeth wisdom. The man that getteth understanding. Now, wisdom and understanding is knowing God's word. That's where wisdom comes from. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said that he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man. So the definition of wisdom, according to Jesus, is knowing God's word and obeying it. That's wisdom. Understanding then would be what God gives you when you choose to know God's word and obey it. Then you'll start to have understanding. You know, there's a lot of things that you're not going to understand in life until you live it. That's true, isn't it? The best teacher for our kids in a lot of ways of maturity is just living life. Sometimes the best way to be humble is to be humbled. Sometimes the best way, for example, learn how to drive. You just got to get out there and drive. You know, and that's scary. I mean, there's practice. We need practice maybe in the parking lot a little bit. But so God says you want to have understanding, then you're only going to get that by putting into action by faith the things that you know God's doing in your life. And then God will begin to show you those aha things, you know, like the aha. God is, you know, I'm struggling and I know God's leading. I trust God. I obey him. Miracle from God or blessing from God or something that couldn't have happened unless God did it. And then we point back and say, you know, God did that because I trusted him. And then it increases our faith. What is that? Understanding. And the more you do it, the more you understand. God's way is better. It works. Happiness is like that. Now, in Deuteronomy 33, don't turn there, but listen to what Moses said to Israel. He said, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee. Like, in other words, what nation is like Israel? Why? O people saved by the Lord. They were delivered out of bondage from God. And God says, man, you can't even begin to be happy unless you get saved. I mean, literally, from Egypt and bondage, but that's true for us, isn't it? Salvation, that's the foundation. That's where it begins. And God gives, you only get saved by faith in Christ. It's not an outward exercise. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9 says that. And so, God says happiness is in him. God is better than anything that the world can give us, because God is the true source of happiness. And we do that other stuff, but when we get done with it, usually you know what it leaves behind? A trail of guilt. And we do things, and we do it for the purpose of being satisfied or happy, but then it never really gets us there, does it? And then there's a kind of guilt that's as a result of that. And so Solomon told his son, happiness comes from wisdom of God and understanding. Now, that's the first one. That's the true source of happiness in life. And that's the first point, God is better. Number two, he's more valuable. Look at verse 14. For the merchandise of it, meaning the wisdom of God, the understanding of God, is better, I love that word, than the merchandise of silver. The gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious, more is a key word, than rubies and all the things thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. So merchandise here is a term that you would hear an investor say, somebody who deals with finances. And that's, so when we talk about finances and we're talking about our finances, we're talking about our money, right? We talk about the things we invest our money in, the things we spend our money on, and all those kind of things. Here's what God says. You can pursue money, you can pursue investments, you can pursue spending your money on things. For what? You know, well, maybe looking for happiness, you know, looking for, you know, satisfaction in the things that we purchase. But sometimes it's just money itself. It's this like umbrella of security that we feel when we have more money. The more money we have, the more secure we feel, right? And how do we know that's true? Well, because with the less money we have, the more insecure we feel. Well, God says he actually is better than money. I mean, sometimes we think, you know, I think it would be really nice if I had $1 million in my savings account. I used to work at the bank. I don't know if it's legal for me to say this. I'm not going to say a name. So I used to work at the bank when I was in college. I was a teller. And so you have access to all these accounts. And it's not like I just go through and look at accounts just, you know, while I'm eating popcorn or something. But, you know, I'll do a deposit or something and I'll see the balance. Ever so often, there's like $1 million in there. I'm like, dude, you're loaded. I'm just thinking that, not saying it, you know. Wouldn't that be nice? Open up your bank account and there's $1 million in there. Like, I'm feeling pretty secure right now. Here's what God said. He said he's better. God's better than that. Why do we need to hear that? Because we don't always believe it. We get so stressed out about our money or lack thereof. When things get tight, it is a stressful season. And I'm not saying that we should throw caution into the wind and not try to make things, do things to take care of the finances of the home. And sometimes you got to work a little extra and you just got to do things, you know, to survive. It's a part of life. But God wants us to understand as we pursue in life that you and I would understand this. In life, don't give your life to the pursuit of wealth and money and the riches and the big fat bank accounts and cool stuff in the backyard and in the garage and all the toys and everything that we could get from that. That you're not going to find in life with that what you'll find, what you can only find with God. God says, God is better. Solomon says to his son, God is better. You and I need to say to our children, God is better. God is better. When will we need to say that? Well, whenever they have a job and they want to have a Mustang, you know? I mean, I'm not talking about a Mustang that looks like, how is that thing even running? You know what I mean? Like, it's a Mustang, but it's like the rust is tripping off of it. You know what I mean? Sometimes kids just have, you know, 16, 17, 18 year old, but they want this truck with the big wheels on it, and it sounds like a tank and looks like a tank. And, you know, they just want all of this amazing stuff that they really can't afford. And then with that, though, what happens with our young people? In the pursuit of all of this stuff, they have to have a job, which is fine. Our kids need to work. And I'm not against them having, I'm not saying that it's wrong for them to have all this stuff. But when they give their hearts to pursuing that stuff, then and they think that in that they can find, satisfaction and happiness and things in life that can't be found in that stuff, then they're deceived. And what we need to do as parents And we need to live it ourselves too. I mean, we need to embrace it ourselves and then pass it on to our kids to say, God's better. God's better than that. So God then becomes number one. We don't want to pursue this at the expense of God. Why? Because God's better. Yep, Solomon's saying that to his son. God is more valuable. Number three, he's more fulfilling. God is more fulfilling. Look at verse 16. Length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Now let me explain that. This is kind of a reference to an Egyptian goddess the Egyptian goddess of justice named Mayet. And why is it a reference to that? Well, this particular goddess is portrayed as holding a symbol of life in one hand and a scepter symbolizing wealth and power in the other hand. And so, what an analogy Solomon uses. Egypt is a picture of the, does anybody know? Of the world. So Solomon is using a reference of an Egyptian goddess who has long life in one hand and wealth and health, or I guess long life would be health, right? And then wealth in the other hand. And what is the world saying that it's going to give you? Health and wealth. You just embrace the world, pursue the world, and you'll get these. But listen to what he says next. Or what he said there is in wisdom's hand. But look at verse 17. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. And that word peace, really pleasantness and peace, is what I want to point out to you. Because it's kind of a part of this dynamic that the world's saying you can have health, and so then there's this, you know, this pursuit of fitness and, you know, exercise and working out and just giving yourself to, gotta take care of my health. No, ding dongs, it's all bad. Ding dongs, no, ding dongs are good. Anyway, so we're so focused on our health and our fitness and stuff. You know, we just gotta take care of ourselves. You know, or the pleasantness that comes from, you know, the wealth and that side of it. But then Solomon said, well, what about peace? Peace is, let me read to you the definition of that word peace. It means completeness or soundness. So the idea there is fulfillment. What you'll find in God is fulfillment. What you'll find in the world is not fulfilling. It's not a form of peace that you'll get from the world. So when you look for fulfillment outside of God, it'll always leave you empty, won't it? It'll leave you feeling unsatisfied. So God's better. God's better. He's fulfilling. And then last, number four, he's our creator. Look at verse 19. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. I don't think that there's a greater display of the power of God than in the act of creation. By his wisdom and by his understanding, he created everything that exists. Through his wisdom, God made all things. So here's what we need to note. That something is probably wrong in our pursuits of life if we have to push through to make it happen. If you have to push through, you know, to make something work. I mean, so I told Melissa the other day, it's like, man, this whole situation was like cramming a square peg in a round hole, you know? It just didn't fit. You get a hammer, you just jam it in there. But that's not how God designs things in life, is it? I'm not saying that it's only God's will if the doors fly open, you know? I mean, we need to sometimes work at getting to where God wants us to be. I mean, it's an effort that needs to be put out there. But listen, if you're pushing and pushing and pushing and it's the only way something is happening in this decision that needs to be made, you probably should back off of it and just ask God, why am I having to push so hard for this to happen? Is this not what you want me to do? Listen, he is the creator of everything. The Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But he didn't, I mean, what does that mean? In the beginning, that's time, right? God, that's the power source. He's the creator. Nothing existed before God. So in the beginning, time, God, the power source, created the heaven, space, and the earth, matter. So in the very first verse of the Bible, God created three things that had to come into existence at the same time. You know what they were? Time, in the beginning, space, heaven, and earth, matter. Time, space, and matter. Every scientist who would agree about this, you can't have one of those three. It's like a trinity. You can't have one without the other two. You can't have two without the third one. You have space and time, or rather, space and matter, when? You have time and space, but what do you have? You have time and matter, but where? You had to have all three at the same time, and God did it in one verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But it wasn't organized in an order yet. So God the Creator and the power of the Holy Ghost moved upon the face of the waters and began to organize His creation. And so the great organizer of the universe is God, the same God who wants to guide you in your path. Now, if He can do that, if He can split, if He can take the Red Sea and just kind of like with His pinky, just sort of draw a line and then it just sort of goes like this, and Israel and blows on it because they walked across on dry ground.
Sir.
If He can do that, He can make a way for you, and you don't have to jam a square peg in a round hole. If you're having to do that, you should probably back up and say, you know what? God's way might be better than this. He's the Creator. God is better because He is the Creator. You can go ahead in life and jam your way through stuff, but it's not better. God is better. So then when we are teaching this to ourselves and to our kids, we need to say things like this. God's better than cussing. God's better than bitterness and anger. God's better than sleeping in and drinking liquor and looking at pornography. God is better than that new truck or that new car. I talk about a Mustang or a new house or a new job or retirement. God's better than your favorite hobby or that video game you want to play or watching TV or working out or going to the game, you know. God's better than kissing. God's better than being inappropriate in the dating relationship. Yeah. God's better. Now, does the world say God's better than that stuff? No, the world says that stuff's better. God says, no, I'm better. We need to teach our kids God is better. Because the world isn't teaching them that. And if you and I don't teach them, then there's like a big gap in their understanding about this. And they're vulnerable. Listen to what one writer said. He said, to the world, religion is boring and there is little to enjoy. Boy, is that not sound like something the world would say? To the world, religion, he said, the world, religion is boring and there is little to enjoy. And I've seen, but you know what I've seen through the years? I'm almost done. I've seen a lot of people surrender to God. And that's part of the joy of getting to do what I get to do. There's a lot of challenges, but there is nothing that comes close to watching somebody surrender to God. And you know what I've never seen? I've never seen somebody walk to the altar and they're just like weeping and then they just sort of like ask the Lord to save them, and or they surrender to, you know, do something for God, and then they're just weeping and weeping and weeping, and I'm like, oh, and what is wrong? I gave my life to God, and now it's just ruined. I've never heard that. You know what I have heard, though, a lot? With that weeping, oh, man, what's wrong? In fact, Alex said it at camp. He was back at his seat, or he was just crying. I was like, "Come on, I mean, you know, little Alex." I said, he had just gotten saved. I said, "Well, what's wrong?" He said, "Pastor, these are happy tears." A way only Alex could say it, right? I got saved, and now my life is over. You know, I've never heard that. Remember the day, the times that you've surrendered to God? Ooh, those are the best times in our life. like the burden's lifted. You're like, ah, I can't believe I fought God that long. 100% of the time in life, here's what you're going to find. If you'll just test it out, God is better. It will always be true. But we just have to, like we talked about at lunch today, we just have to say, okay, I'm really struggling. This is what God says. I'm going to do it. Courage, right, God? Give me courage. I'm going to do it. And then we do it. And then what you'll always find is, wow, that was better. And there's a blessing. Sometimes a miracle happens, you know, and you're like, well, only God could have done that, you know. I want to encourage you tonight, if you've been battling some with this, that you would just embrace that short little statement. God is better. Maybe we could say this again, right? Be a Twinkie in a ding-dong world. Which one's better? Well, God's better. Father, tonight we need you. I pray for your help to embrace the truth that I think that we've gained from Solomon tonight as he tries to teach his son, I guess, just a simple little truth that you're better. And it's always true. So often we fight that little but true statement. I pray that tonight you would allow us to again have a chance to embrace it and allow you to change us in the area of just the pursuit of happiness and our finances and the fulfillment that we'll find in life. And then the last thing we talked about is just trying to push things through when it's not needed, and you'll guide us through these things. So I pray for your help to see you as better and to deal with sin or any issue that might be in our life. God, tonight I pray you'd help us to address that. And we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's